Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Awesome, like podcasts and stuff.
I've seen people with podcasts less desperate for approval.
I hope this isn't about your podcast again.
Please, podcasts are verbal narcissism for ugly journalists.
Welcome to the Awful Announcing Podcast. Here's your host, Ben Heisler.
This is the Awful Announcing Podcast presented by BetDSI. This is episode number 35. Welcome in, everybody. Ben Heisler with you. I always appreciate you guys being a part of the show. It means a lot to have you guys with us. And it's a perfectly timed feature guest, somebody that I really think you're going to enjoy, learn a whole boatload from. And that is CBS Sports' Clark Kellogg. This is now his 25th year at CBS covering college basketball. He spent so many years, too, as well with the Indiana Pacers organization, both as a player and a broadcaster. The man lives, breathes, sleeps, eats basketball. And his perspective on everything from Zion Williamson and sort of the comp that maybe he could provide so that anybody who's ever watched this guy play can get a sense of just how special that type of talent is at 6'8" and 270 something pounds that can, you know, jump almost 50 inches in the air, really covered everything, including some of the mid-major discussion, some of his favorite NCAA tournament broadcasters over time. Really enjoyed the conversation with Clark Kellogg, and I think you guys will as well. But before we get to our conversation with Clark, with the NCAA tournament just a few days away, this is prime time for our friends over at BetDSI.com. They are, of course, the proud sponsor of the Awful Announcing Podcast. March Madness is next week. It is here. It is coming up. March Madness is here. And whether you were playing and watching and wagering the conference tournaments, now you get all the games at your disposal. It's one of the most fun times of the year to be betting on sports, and BetDSI is the place to be for sports wagering. They've been paying winners out for 20 years, constantly remain amongst the top rated on the bet review sites, and I use them. You've heard me talk about being a BetDSI user right here on this very podcast. Another fun week. It took a couple days off. I was with the wife in the Bay Area for the first time, little baby moon for us. So, you know, I've missed it. You know, I was checking my phone. I was checking scores, but didn't have any action on the game. So that's going to come back, especially come tournament time. I cannot wait. And again, there's going to be some really, really good matchups ahead of the NCAA tournament as well. But let's say you don't get that bet in on time and you're watching a game unfold and all of a sudden that number 12 seed is up big in the first half, but you still think that number 5 seed can break away and pull off a stunner at this point. You can live bet at BetDSI.com. You can watch the lines move in real time. It's a fascinating way to dive into this. And also, there's the ability of live betting, future betting, especially come March Madness time. You know, early on this year, I looked at Kansas State and Houston as some future bets that I really like. Maryland, I think at 125-1. So it's all available for you guys at BetDSI.com. And for Awful Announcing Podcast listeners, you get a 100% bonus match when you go to BetDSI.com and use the promo code AWFUL100. So you go, maybe you deposit $100, $200. They will match that deposit. And again, this is a perfect opportunity with the madness here to jump on in. Promo code AWFUL100 at BetDSI.com. Remember, it's only a game until you bet it at BetDSI. He is one of the names that is most synonymous with college basketball and the NCAA tournament, which of course kicks off this week. And you can see him on a variety of television networks, CBS, TNT, TBS, True TV, all throughout the tournament with live studio coverage with Greg Gumbel, Kenny Smith, and Charles Barkley. Always excited to have Clark Kellogg join us as our feature guest here on the Awful Announcing Podcast. Clark, what's good? Thanks for making time for us.
Oh, my pleasure. What's good is a lot of stuff, but obviously this time of year is as special as it gets if you're a college basketball fan. If you're just a sports fan, I mean, you've got the convergence of a lot of neat sporting events happening. And I would venture to say, Ben, that for my money, March Madness, the three-week rush to a championship, which actually starts a week or two before the tournament with all the conference tournaments, is really as good as it gets on the sports calendar for unpredictability, drama, competition, and everything else that's part of it.
And the thing about it, too, is that the inclusivity of everybody being able to get involved, whether it's making a bracket or whether it's watching all the different games and watching it unfold, I think it's one of the nice universal symbols of the NCAA tournament is that regardless of whether you've been watching every game or if you're just tuning in for 3 weeks in March, it's a nice opportunity to bring a lot of sports fans closer together.
I agree 100%. Could not say it any better myself, Ben. You're exactly right. The fabric that runs through this tournament has something for everybody. And it really makes it special for this three-week run that ultimately ends with the champion being crowned. But along the way, the journey is so rich with stories and unexpected results and all types of things that, again, just about anybody can either be a rabid fan or somebody who just helicoptered in for the last couple of weeks of the season.
Speaking of a journey, you've been at CBS now for 25 years or so, and I'm curious what's made that relationship between you and CBS and everybody that you work with, what's made that work so well?
I think it's people, Ben, when you get right down to it. Anytime you have a long-standing relationship, whether it's personally or professionally, I think at the end of the day, it's being able to get along with the folks you're working with and working for and to bring value to what's being done. And I've been really fortunate. I tell people all the time, I can't ever repay the game of basketball for what it's given to me in my lifetime. Fell in love with the game as an 8-9 year old growing up on the east side of Cleveland. Had the opportunity to realize all my dreams in playing in terms of having a chance to go to college and play and then on to the NBA for a short time and to still be connected to the game and to do what I'm allowed to do is quite remarkable. And I never take it for granted, but I think it's people. I mean, the people that are front and center with me on the air, the people that are behind the scenes on the air, our leadership team, both at Turner and CBS, it's just been positive and good both ways.
You said your love of basketball started around, 8 or 9 years old. Was there ever a moment in your life growing up, just because kids have so many interests, and even though you had the talent to make it to the college level and to just dominate in your high school championship game, which I want to talk to you about in just a second, and be a number one, a first-round NBA draft pick, too, and play for the Pacers, was there ever a moment where maybe you thought basketball wasn't the route that you wanted to go down?
No, I never came across that stone or bridge. I loved the game, loved talking about it, loved watching it, loved learning about it, and obviously loved playing it. And, you know, when you do something well early on and you get positive reinforcement for that from internally and externally, it does lend itself to being transferable to other areas. I've always enjoyed business and reading and writing and those types of things, but really set my sights on hopefully being good enough to play for pay someday. And I've had a love affair with the game since as far back as I can remember. I mean, there were nights, Ben, I really couldn't sleep when I knew there was pickup basketball to be played the next day. So that kind of love and excitement and joy is a special gift, I think. And I found it in basketball.
You know, I like getting a little bit biographical during these conversations, Clark. And I read that in that high school championship game that I mentioned earlier, you dropped like, what, 51 points, grabbed 24 rebounds. And now, as somebody who's blessed with decent height, I'm 6'2". The problem is I have about a 2-inch vertical leap. Can you describe to me and a lot of other people listening what it's like to be that locked in when you're playing?
Well, you lose yourself in the game and the competition and whatever the task at hand is. I mean, in that state championship game, I can't believe we're coming up on the 40-year anniversary of that here in the next week or two. I can't remember the exact date, but I do know it was March of 79. And we got behind big in that game, Ben, and I so desperately wanted to be part of bringing the first basketball state championship to our school, and we came up short. But in that moment, and any time you're between the lines or even doing what I do now, you tend to prepare. You want to do a job that's representative of your craft and of those who support you. You want to do it in a way that honors God. And so when you're out there playing, that's pretty much what it feels like. You just kind of lose yourself in the task at hand, in the moment, and trying to do what you've practiced and prepared to do. And it doesn't give much room for thinking about anything else. It's a really unique kind of clearly in the moment type of feeling. And you pretty much sustain that for whatever the length of the game is. In high school, it's 32 minutes. In college, it's 40. In the NBA, it's 48. And it's a sanctuary of competition within that 94-by-50-foot rectangle.
Tell me about playing college basketball back when you were playing in the early 1980s. What stuck out about your game, how your Ohio State teams like to play, and then maybe for those that maybe didn't get a chance to watch you play, what and how college basketball has just transformed so much since the time in which you were playing and how you've watched the game evolve since then?
Yeah, it's been quite an evolution. I mean, I was in the heyday of my playing career through high school as a 79 graduate and then on into the college ranks in a very, very difficult Big Ten in the early 80s and then on to the Pacers for a short time and from 82 to 87. And, you know, quite honestly, Ben, I was kind of a unique guy at that time because I was 6'8". The strength of my game was really rebounding. I was a really outstanding offensive rebounder, had a nose and a gift for pursuing the ball that was fairly unique. But I also was a good ball handler. I could rake it and take it and make plays in the open court as a passer or driver from one end to the other. And that wasn't nearly as commonplace as it is now. As a matter of fact, in this day and age, you see guys much taller than me with guard skills. And it's almost a dime a dozen nowadays, in part because of the three-point line that came into vogue in the 87 season at the college level, early 80s in the NBA. But it didn't really pick up steam as a weapon until really, I want to say in the early 2000s is when the three-point shot really became a huge weapon, and then it's been on steroids here in the last eight to ten years. But my game was pretty solid in terms of skill level. I'm unique, and because of my size, I had some ball skills that were fairly unique. But rebounding was really kind of the strength of my game. And as I think about the game from when I played until now and how it's changed, one, the attire is a little different. We kind of wore short shorts and Converse that were not nearly the quality of the shoes that are made today. But the guys before me even had it a little worse. It's all relative depending on when you're playing. But
right.
I think the universal athleticism of players. Now, I've told people that I don't know how I would have fared. I was a really good player in my era, but I don't know how I would have fared in this day and age with so many guys doing the stuff that I could do and maybe being a little better athletically than me because of all of the improvements with understanding the benefit of nutrition and the weight training regimen that athletes across all sports engage in now. That universal athleticism to me is really, really stands out. The three-point shot obviously spaces the floor, and more teams now are really looking to create opportunities to spread the defense out because of the three-point shot. You rarely see teams, particularly at the pro level, where you don't have four or five guys out there that can all shoot the three-point shot or shoot the deep perimeter shot. And much the same is starting to trickle into the college game a bit. So just kind of in a nutshell, the athleticism, the universal athleticism, you know, smaller guys, it would be kind of rare when you saw in the past, in my playing days, a 5'9", 5'10 guy dunk. I mean, Spud Webb was an anomaly. But now, heck, it's an exception when you see 5'9", 5'10 guys who can't dunk because there's so many of them, again, that universal athleticism that I'm talking about. So those are the two biggest things. And the other thing, one other thing I would add is, too, the sophistication of the scouting that takes place now at all levels, in part because of the sabermetrics area age we're in now, the ability to compile big data and find ways to be ways to use it to improve performance. I think it's helped defenses be a little better and a little tougher because of all of the advanced scouting that takes place due to technology.
I think those are all really good points. And then you think about, you know, this incredible player like a Zion Williamson who can not only handle the ball, have exceptional size, run the floor like a deer with a 45-plus-inch vertical. Like, everything that you just described, Clark, is kind of being passed into this new generational-type player in Zion Williamson. I know we love player comps, but is there any sort of comparison for Zion when you watch him play?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know what? Not really, because there are occasions, and it happens in every era, where a player kind of remakes the mold or is so unique that you really aren't comfortable comparing him to anybody else. I think about Lew Alcindor, the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar now. When I read about him, I could not believe what I was seeing when I watched this guy. I'm 8, 9 years old in Cleveland, Ohio. UCLA's on television. This guy's 7'1" or 2", as graceful as a gazelle, has a touch, mobile and agile, and dominating. We still haven't quite seen anybody like him. Shaquille O'Neal in the 90s, that kind of sheer force and athleticism was unique and still not quite. Wilt Chamberlain prior to that in terms of physical domination. Nate Tiny Archibald, only guy to ever lead the league in assists and scoring at the NBA level. I think, I don't know if Russell has done, I don't think Russell's done it, the triple-doubles, Russell Westbrook I'm speaking of. But, and then Oscar Robertson was my dad's hero, and he told me all about Big O then. I read about him, and this guy's averaging 30 through high school. He averaged 30 a game in college, then averaged 30 in the pro, 6'5", 220, point guard, controlling the game. I mean, some of these players, and Zion, I'm not saying he's of that caliber yet, but in terms of uniqueness, LeBron James, until Zion, you think about the 21st century convergence of all of these things we've talked about in terms of athleticism, evolution, skill, strength, and you see the embodiment of that with LeBron. who's now obviously in the last quarter of his career. So Zion is as unique. I don't know of any player. I've heard Charles Barkley mentioned just because of the size and athleticism, but I think I would just paraphrase what I think Coach K said. Zion is not something that you explain. He's something you experience. So I think that's a pretty good way to look at it with him.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do it any better than the way in which you and Coach K described him. One of my favorite things to do right around now, Clark, especially as we get closer to March Madness, is I just go on massive YouTube binges. I find these great finishes, these incredible games, and I love to find the game where you know how it ends, but you still have to watch the tape and remember how it all went down. And there's one game for me that will always sort of be ingrained into that conversation, the game that you know how it ends, but you still have to just watch it and understand it for yourself again and again. It was 2005. I was a junior in high school in the Chicago area, watching my favorite team at the time, Illinois, play against Arizona in the Elite Eight game in Chicago. Illinois was down 14 with around 4 minutes to go. Yep. They ended up forcing overtime. And I'm wondering, when you have all these great years at CBS, watching all these games unfold, being a part of tournament coverage, is there a game or two in those 25 years that you still scratch your head and you just go to yourself and say, how did this team pull this off?
Well, clearly that was a remarkable comeback. And quite honestly, I recall talking about that game after it happened. And really, it was a great, typically in that type of a comeback, the team that's leading does a few things that really, really aid the comeback effort.
Right.
In that game, I thought it was 80-20 all Illinois. I just thought they were absolutely perfect. Typically, that ratio is 50-50. Maybe 60-40 in favor of what the team on the lead didn't do. But this, to me, as I recalled it, was one where Illinois was absolutely perfect in just about everything they had to do in making shots, clock management, defensive stops, and so forth. I think about the game, Texas A&M, I think, came back from, I forget what the number was. It was something within I think it was 13 in a minute or something. It was some ridiculous historic comeback. And I forget what year. It was only a few years ago. But they made just a crazy comeback, and I was jaw on the ground. How is this happening? You know, that type of thing.
Was it the Northern Iowa game in 2016?
Yeah, it was Northern Iowa, yeah. Okay. It was, that would have been, what year was that, 15 or 16?
2016, I believe.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And just the way that kind of crumbled for Northern Iowa, and yet Texas A&M then, I mean, obviously made it happen. And then I would go back just to last year, the domination of the UMBC, the UBMC, Baltimore, Maryland, yeah, UBMC Retrievers, domination of Virginia in the second half. I mean, that was one where you're sensing that Virginia's going to make a run, and then all of a sudden, you're like, this is going to happen, and it's not even going to be close. And so those are a couple that kind of stand out in terms of that context that you laid out.
I won't ask you to name, you know, this year's UMBC, because you're talking about something that's never happened before until last year. But what about from a standpoint of who might this year's Loyola Chicago be? Maybe that 11 or 12 seed that has that opportunity to work their way into the Final Four. And again, we're taping this on a Friday, so we don't know what the bracket looks like as of yet. But is there a team or two that you think is kind of creeping off in the distance that maybe traditional college fans and people that have been following them all season, they're familiar with them, but maybe the casual fan will learn about as this tournament goes on and really has a chance to surprise some people?
You know, Ben, there's always a few teams that I kind of put on my isolated camera to keep an eye on. If they get to the tournament, could they make a run? A couple of these teams are fairly familiar to the fan of college basketball. Buffalo and Wofford come to mind because they're non-power conference schools that have been flirting in the top 25 all season long, but still, it would be a remarkable run for one of those schools to get to the Final Four, and I think both are capable. There are a couple of other teams that I like outside of the Power Conference squads that could maybe win a game or two, which would be like winning the championship for them, a team like Liberty, which has already punched its ticket to the dance out of the Atlantic Sun. Really good ball club. California Irvine has yet to make the field as we speak, but a really good team that has size and depth and a really good backcourt. So those teams are teams that I think could be problematic and could be a Loyola-type team in this year's tournament. There are a couple of others that haven't made it to the field, but Buffalo, Wofford, UC Irvine, Liberty. And that's a pretty good geographical representation, too. I just think I missed the great Midwest there.
I think that's fair. And, again, maybe a team like Murray State, too, with John Morant, a guy that's projected
to be... Well, he'll be fun. I'm thrilled. I think we're all excited to see him and see that team. And they're good. I've watched them a few times. It's not just him. I mean, obviously, he's the headliner and the marquee and gets top billing on the marquee. But he's not by himself. Tevin Brown and... Coward, the big guy inside, Brown's a sharp shooting guard. Those guys could possibly make a name for themselves in this tournament, too.
Would you like to see the selection committee, Clark, make it a little bit more advantageous for some of those smaller schools that have had exceptional years that won their conference before the conference tournament game? I know that they have so many different decisions to make, and with the tournament expanding to, 68 teams at this point, it feels like when we're watching all these different bubble teams try to get in, I think of a team like Belmont that I'd love to see be in the tournament that I think, and I'm an Indiana grad, and I know that they were making a push down the end, but I look at Belmont and I say, I believe they're more deserving than Indiana at this point based on their overall body of record.
Well, you make a great point because there are a couple of things we have to consider. I would always tilt towards including an elite-level mid-major team versus a mediocre power conference team. But it's not about whether a team could win a game if they get to the tournament. It's about whether they deserve to be invited based on the criteria that's been established and so forth. So those are two different, but I would certainly bend that way. But at the end of the day, the committee is charged with putting the best 36 at-large teams in the field, and they've got ample information in addition to observation that leads them to determine which teams there are. And sometimes you'll have maybe a deserving team or two that for whatever reason doesn't make the cut, but that's part of having an invitational tournament. There will be on occasion teams that deserve to be there, but because of the finite numbers, everybody can't go. So I like that element of it. I really do. And I'm hopeful this year perhaps there will be room based on everything that the committee looks at for a team like Belmont, Lipscomb. I think I was just looking, Ben, there's probably, I want to say maybe 15 teams, 15 to 20 I counted, that have won 75% of their games that will not be at-large teams, are not for sure at-large teams, or have not already punched their ticket to the tournament. But there were still those criteria laid out. There were still about 15 to 20 teams that had won 75% of their games, and many of them will be on the at-large consideration board, but I really think only a couple or three might have a legitimate chance to be at large tournament teams.
It's an always fascinating conversation, especially when we all wake up on Monday morning, turn on the sports talk radio stations, even Sunday after you guys break down the information. It'll be fascinating to watch and get the reaction in real time. One last one that I have for you, Clark, and I really do appreciate you being so candid and forthright with us and spending some time. I think the other benefit of you spending all this time at CBS is you guys have had some great college basketball announcers over the years, and then now factoring in with the Turner Sports partnership, that list of terrific broadcasters and play-by-play guys and commentators has expanded now. And I'm wondering if there's somebody now that you've gotten a chance to work with, either, alongside doing play-by-play and color commentary, or just being in the studio and watching it all from the outside looking in. Is there a broadcaster or two that, when they're calling a game, you get a little extra juice just listening to them call that game?
Well, there are a few guys, and I've been so fortunate in my time at ESPN and the Atlantic 10 Network, Big East Network, and obviously CBS to work with the best of the best on the play-by-play side, and even side-by-side with some other analysis on an analyst on occasion. Man, that's a tough call. But I love Gus Johnson on basketball. He and I spent some time together when he was at CBS. Kevin Harlan has been terrific at both levels, calling hoops. And I think announcers, play-by-play guys, are really good at a variety of sports. That's just the nature of the business. But I do think there's a cadence and a rhythm and an energy to hoops that is that some embrace better. Jim Nance was fantastic to work with. But if I'm watching guys, Kevin, Gus, Ian Eagle, Spiro Ditas, basketball, those guys, I thoroughly enjoy if I'm next to them or even if I'm at home and they happen to be on the mic. I'll perk up a little bit with a smile.
Make sure you guys are watching Clark Kellogg all throughout March Madness on CBS, on TNT, TBS, and True TV. Also, be sure to give him a follow on Twitter as well, at Clark Kellogg CBS. Always great to catch up with you. I love the insight. I love the knowledge that you bring whenever we have a chance to talk. And I'm looking forward to having another exciting March Madness just come down, and it'll be gone before you know it, so we might as well enjoy it.
Exactly. Enjoy the journey. Great being with you, Ben. Appreciate the time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.